how is your business impacted by disruptive change? Welcome to Food for Thought, a podcast series designed to bring you bite-sized information on the latest trends and hot topics in the food and beverage industry. Today, we discuss the disruptors facing food and beverage companies and key considerations when developing a strategic plan.
Hello, I'm Darren Gifford, a partner with Plant Moran in our strategy and operations practice. Today, I'm joined by Dave Henkes of Technomic. Dave, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Darren, for having me. And just by way of introduction, Technomic is a 52-year-old food and beverage research and consulting firm. I'm a senior principal at the firm, and I've been here just over 22 years.
Can you tell us, what are some of the threats and opportunities or disruptive changes that you're seeing out in the marketplace?
Well, I think when we look at what's driving change, and especially as we focus on what's impacting the food manufacturer, the processor community, there's really probably five or six big disruptors or big change agents that we're looking at. One is the changing consumer. The consumer today is much different than the consumer 5 or 10 years ago. They're not really looking for big brands or big anything. And so this idea of local or smaller really resonates with the consumer. We're seeing a consumer that's demanding a lot more transparency, not only in what they're eating, but also transparency throughout the corporate and corporate social responsibility and how a corporation goes to market and runs its business. Technology and big data is certainly impacting the business. We're seeing some polarization from the consumer and from the business, so that things are really either going, as an example, either very high end or sort of more commodity. We're sort of losing that middle ground in a lot of ways. And again, that's impacting some brands that are kind of caught in the middle. And as a result, I think we're seeing a lot more specialization. And so those trends kind of on a very macro level are things that are making it a lot harder today to be successful for a food processor or for a food manufacturer than perhaps it was 5 or 10 years ago.
Let's talk about a few of those in a little more detail, if that's okay, Dave. Yeah, one of the things that I know, and there's been a number of different studies and conferences, a lot of discussion, but for example, the one of the things that the CEO for Bunge recently commented on was that he thought one of the most disruptive forces in the future was this idea of this health consciousness amongst the consumers, which I think leads to that social responsibility and the transparency. Can you elaborate on that a little bit and what might be some of the impacts on the food and beverage makers and distributors?
Well, yeah, and I think when you look at health and wellness, right, and this whole idea that the consumer is increasingly more health oriented, that's a little bit, you know, there's a different definition of what health and wellness means now to the consumer, and a lot of it does relate back to really more of a, you know, it's not low calorie or it's not low fat anymore. It's not really what's taken out of a product, but more what it can do. And so there's sort of a functional attribute to health and wellness. And I think that also leads then into the fact that because functionality is so important, things like natural or, you know, how it's grown or that organic nature of a product really starts to play a role in the perception of health and wellness for consumers. And what that further leads then into is the idea that big processed brands are less in favor from the consumer, and consumers tend to migrate and associate healthier, better for you products with more local, i.e. smaller brands. And so I think when you look at big brands, and whether it's, you know, Nestle or General Mills or a lot of these big CPG companies, Kraft Heinz, others, they really struggle with this because they've, you know, essentially built their whole business around being large corporate multinational organizations. And now the tide to a large degree has turned, and a lot of consumers are looking at the exact opposite of what these companies represent and what they offer. And I think they've struggled with that. And a lot of that has to do with, you know, sort of health and wellness leading into some of these demands for smaller, more local offerings from the manufacturing community.
It sounds like it's tough to be a large food and beverage manufacturer right now, isn't it?
Well, it is. And, you know, local, right? I mean, this whole idea of local, local is not necessarily a geographic mindset for consumers. Local, really, consumers start to equate with fresh and clean and natural. You know, this whole idea, we've heard a lot about it, of food with a story and being able to tell the backstory for where a product comes from, who the farmer is, and how it's grown. And so I think big brands have a real tough time telling a story in terms of what their brands stand for and where they come from. And that's one of the things that these smaller brands really excel on is telling that story and creating a sustainable perception among consumers.
Yeah, that's true. You know, another, just to branch off into a related area, recently the CEO for Mondelez also commented that his view of the disruptive forces were all around this idea that consumer wants it online, anytime, as you said, anywhere, just about. That really starts to blur some of the channels, at least the traditional channels, doesn't it? How do you the manufacturers work with that, or how do they get the data they need about the consumers?
Well, I think we certainly look at and Technomic got its start really doing food service research, right? And so in my 22 years at Technomic, a lot of my research has been around food service, and really over the past 5 to 7 years. There's been such a blurring of channels as grocery and retail gets more into prepared foods, and as restaurants get more into creating meal kits and creating away from home options for delivery, takeout, et cetera. And then you see the rise of these food courts, and you see the rise of food trucks and other things, and convenience stores and other retailers that are really getting into the food game. And so this blurring of channels is real. And I think that's, an additional challenge for manufacturers, because they don't necessarily take an omni-channel view of the consumer, right? I mean, they tend to look at the retail consumer or the restaurant consumer or the food service consumer. And we've been increasingly working with our manufacturer clients and partners to help them understand consumer behavior as it relates across all channels. And I think it requires a little bit of a different mindset for manufacturers, because in essence, they're really siloed, right? You've got a retail, you've got a grocery team that's focused on growing business within Kroger or within the larger grocery channel. And then you've got a food service national accounts team, and you got a team that's selling to Sysco and US Foods and other distributors. And nobody's really taking a holistic view of the consumer and what they want and where they want. And I think that's going to need to change over the next several years as, consumers are online, they can get food whenever they want it, whenever, wherever they want it. And it has profound implications on how the manufacturer ultimately goes to market.
Yeah, it's really, I think technology is probably one of the key drivers in here. Other comments that I noted was that recently the CEOs for McDonald's and Domino's both cited this idea of disruptive change they thought was really, really built around all the advances in technology that are happening it's really fast right now, right? So what do you see from the technology side? What are the kind of things do you think are happening on the technology side that are going to change this industry?
Well, there's a lot happening. There's sort of the consumer facing technology, right? And so a lot of that within restaurants and even within grocery has to do with online ordering, the rise of Instacart and the rise of Grubhub and Uber Eats and sort of this gig economy that's driven by technology. That's sort of an easy one for consumers to see. Within restaurants, we're also seeing technology that's being used increasingly in operations, i.e. kiosks and other things that will ultimately probably help alleviate a labor situation that a lot of restaurants have. But then there's also the technology that we see that's not necessarily visible to the consumer in any kind of tangible way. And a lot of that is big data or back of house type applications, where increasingly consumers are being tracked through their credit card and through their loyalty programs, and retailers and restaurants and ultimately manufacturers know more about their consumers today than they ever did. And that technology, while I think most companies are still trying to get their arms around the amount of data that's out there, I think the big change agent for technology is ultimately how that big data and how companies actually really learn to understand their consumer better. And it goes back to what I talked about earlier about understanding the consumer holistically. The more you can understand them in their behaviors at home, away from home, where they're shopping, who else they're buying from. Do Chili's customers also go to Applebee's, and what's the competitive set that they're actually considering, and where else are they spending money? All of these things are hugely important, and So this idea of big data and the technology and the ability to crunch massive amounts of data that get fed into it from things like these online ordering apps and you know, all of the different things that consumers willingly sign up for, I think that's the disruptor that's ultimately going to help drive the industry forward, is just this knowledge of the consumer that comes from so many different sources that the consumer has opted into that give give companies a better sense of who their consumer is and how they shop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what a great challenge, but a great opportunity.
Absolutely, and it's a little bit of both, right? And I don't know that anyone really is a best in class technology company yet, right? I mean, everyone's still sort of figuring out how to use the data and what value is there. You know, I think retail probably just has a head start on it just because of all of the, you know, the shopper insights that have been out there and, you know, the ability to track consumers back through their grocery card purchases and things like that. But, you know, that's really in a small part of where they spend money on food and beverage. And I think, you know, being able to link all of that with their away from home behavior is really going to be the opportunity.
And one last thing on technology, we can't stop talking about technology until we at least talk a little bit about blockchain. So what are your thoughts on blockchain? Does it work in this industry, or what do you think will happen?
Yeah, I think when we look at blockchain, and blockchain is such a new technology, when we talk to our food service partners about it, we still get a lot of glossy eyes in terms of really just even understanding what it is and how it can be used. And I think when we look at the applications, given that it's really an unhackable technology that sort of builds upon each other and you know, we've seen applications throughout supply chain in terms of tracing products back. You know, in the news today, there's here in Chicago and Illinois, you know, McDonald's is pulling a lot of salads from their restaurants because of some consumers getting sick. And so the ability to be able to track things back is hugely important for the industry and understand where these products come from and to tracing it back. You know, we always hear these discussions about farm to fork and you know, and this traceability and transparency in the supply chain that still in a lot of ways doesn't exist. I think blockchain as a technology probably adds to and brings some additional transparency and some additional traceability to products that really, you know, will be critical to help manufacturers, you know, throughout their supply chain. You know, so that's one big application. I don't know. Do you see any additional applications in terms of what you've seen with blockchain?
Well, it's interesting. As a whole, as a society, we're all somewhat neophytes to what blockchain's potential could be. What I recently met with some startups actually are looking at building blockchain application really that takes that supply chain that you're talking about and is trying to address how to make that, frankly, an internal trading center, if you want to think of it that way, so that the various aspects, as you said, from farm to fork, would actually then use their blockchain, quote, crypto devices or currency in this case to actually provide that transparency and make it very real time as far as how that would work. That's a little bit of a science fiction at this point, but it has some tremendous potential in the future as far as really making that supply chain more efficient and more real time and responsive.
Yeah, there's no question that, you know, technology, you know, and this goes back to your earlier question about technology, right? I mean, blockchain's a brand new technology that really within the food industry is just starting to get noticed. And again, it's something that we think over the next 3 to 5 years will have a profound impact, but I think we're still very nascent in terms of its current applications.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, recognizing all of this disruption and this, and especially from a technology standpoint, but it's related to everything else. There's one comment that came from the CEO of Domino's recently was around that investments that may be made today may be obsolete in 5 years because these advances in technologies and changes in consumer preferences may do that to them. Recognizing all that, how would you advise a company that's trying to figure out how to deal with these, with their day-to-day business challenges, but also all these long-term technology challenges? How do they deal with that, and how would you tell them to approach things?
Well, you know, I think it's, you know, the challenge, and I think you get mixed messages from customers, right, regarding technology and regarding what they're asking for. from whether it's restaurant chains or whether it's from the brands, the food and beverage brands that they consume. Consumers want you to stay on trend and be innovative and do different things, but they don't necessarily want you to change their product. They want you to produce better quality, but they're not willing necessarily to pay more. We see a lot of restaurants streamlining their menu, but they want new products. And so for companies, long-term growth really is about execution. It's coupled with staying ahead of trends. You know, one of the things that we talk about with our food manufacturers certainly is kind of the growth equation, if you look at it, is relevant, staying relevant to your customer through trend leadership while differentiating yourself. And then while doing that, making sure you're executing against what they're looking for. And so certainly things like technology investment, I mean, there's always going to be things that are obsolete in 3 to 5 years. And I think strategically, the way you need to look at that is more, you know, how do we stay relevant and how do we continue to be ahead of trends and lead on trends? And more importantly, how do we differentiate ourselves? And so there are players like Domino's and, you know, a number of quick service chains that have done a really good job of growing and differentiating themselves through technology. But at some point, other competitors are going to catch up, right? And so is your unique selling proposition, is your differentiation really the technology? Or is it something that consumers can't get anywhere else? Is it the food you're offering? Is it some new and innovative menu items or products? And how well are you executing against what the consumers look for? And so certainly I look at investment in technology as something that's necessary for everyone throughout the channel. But really, more strategically, you've got to stay ahead of what consumers or your customers are asking for, differentiate yourself, and execute against all of those expectations.
Yeah, one of the things that we work with our clients on, and we tell them that it's really, it was always important, but especially now, it's really important to develop your strategic plan around what you think is some of these opportunities and threats from technology will be. But then it needs to be a pretty flexible strategic plan to really think proactively about how you're going to approach these things, you know, before you get shocked by it, before you have to react to them.
Well, that's exactly right, and I think today's supplier and really anyone within the food industry, the food and beverage channel, they need to take risks, right? I think just selling existing products to existing customers. Listen, we're in a low to no growth real environment, right? And so we're in really a take share business. And so how then do you really grow? Incrementally grow, you've got to take some risks in terms of new products, new services, perhaps new approaches to delivery, new competitive arenas, new products, new geographies. And if you're not taking risks and you know, doing some things, you've got to set lower expectations for growth. I think it's a wake-up call that the way you've done things for the last 10, 15, 20 years is not going to be the way you're going to be successful for the next, call it 3 to 5 years anyway. And it's hard to take a longer horizon viewpoint than that. But I think that's the reality of today's situation.
Yeah, and you've really got to flex with the environment, don't you?
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Dave, thanks so much for joining us today. And if you take away one thing from today's podcast, as Dave and I would both tell you, is this food and beverage industry, like so many others you hear about out there, is facing a mountain of disruptive change, heavily from this these technology advances and changes that are happening. So now is really the time to figure it out and how it's going to impact you and your business. Thank you very much for listening today. And remember to check out our additional food and beverage resources at plantmoran.com.